We were learning the halachas of basar b'chalav, learning the halachas of kashas. We're up to basar b'chalav, and tonight we will discuss the first of the three isurim of basar b'chalav. We mentioned it in general in the introduction, and now we'll go into the details. The first prohibition is cooking basar b'chalav. It has nothing to do with eating it. We'll see, it may not even have anything to do with anything being edible. But, and it's not even if you're cooking it for a Jew. Just the cooking itself of basar b'chalav is asur. And if it's cooked in a way that's prohibited from the Torah, then the product is not only asur to eat, but it's also asur to have any enjoyment from, any benefit from. So a lot of what we're going to discuss tonight, whether something is in fact prohibited from the Torah because of basar b'chalav or not, the only ramifications are whether you can have benefited from, can you sell it to a goy, can you give it to your dog, cat, or whatever, right? That's really the only ramification. Because even things that are not prohibited from the Torah, but are considered cooking basar b'chalav together, or considered mixing it together, you're not allowed to eat it, at least rabbinically. But basar b'chalav that's only rabbinic is not prohibited b'hanoah. You're allowed to derive benefit from it. So therefore, there's a difference whether something is Torah prohibited in the cooking or not. That's the major point that we're going to discuss tonight. So what is considered cooking from the Torah? So first of all, cooking in its strictest sense means cooking with a solid and a liquid, or two liquids together. That's called cooking. Other processes are baking, frying, broiling, whatever, deep frying, and those may or may not have halacha of actual cooking. And again, if you broil a cheeseburger, you're definitely not allowed to eat it. But it could be, we'll see that's not the case, but it could be that if it wouldn't be considered cooking from the Torah, right, then you could give it to your dog, even though you yourself couldn't eat it. Okay. So cooking itself is cooking in a liquid, milk and meat, one liquid, one solid, or both liquids or whatever, that's called cooking. Now, it's not only cooking milk and meat together, that's also ben haTorah, but even cooking meat in a dairy pot that's a ben yomu, that was used for hot dairy within 24 hours, or the opposite, cooking milk in a meat pot that was used for hot meat within 24 hours, also is an issa d'oraisa of basar b'chalav, even though it's only the taste of the meat or the taste of the milk in the pot. That's also min haTorah, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to have any benefit from the result of that either. Okay. Next, what is considered cooking? Like we said, real, the strictest sense, cooking is a solid and a liquid, or two liquids. What is also included in that? So, broiling, frying, barbecuing, roasting, and baking, okay, according to most poskim, are asur min haTorah. All of that is included in cooking. So if you do any of these processes of milk and meat, then the product is not only asur to eat, it's also asur to what you call to have any enjoyment from. In addition to that, the action itself is awesome. Even if you're not doing it to eat it, even if you're not doing it for yourself. So, if you're in cooking school, a non-Jewish cooking school, learning how to cook, and they want you to prepare dishes that are basar b'chalav, you're not allowed to do it. Because you'd be over an isser d'oraisa of cooking basar b'chalav in any of these processes. Frying, baking, and so on. And therefore, if you have a Filipino, right, in the book here it says a maid, but that is not really Matityahu. If you happen to have a Filipino, and what's it called, and she does not keep, or he doesn't keep kosher, which they don't have to, and they have their own oven or their own microwave, and they like to eat cheeseburgers. It's amira la'akum to tell a Filipino, here, go make yourself a cheeseburger. Because basically, according to the opinion that amira la'akum, telling a goy to do something that's asr for you, is asr because of shlichus. Because l'chumra, you can make a goy a shliach, so basically he's becoming your agent in broiling this hamburger and cheese.
It's not for you.
Doesn't make a difference, right? You tell a goy to do something on Shabbos, even for himself, can't do, right? But if you give the goy treif meat and tell him, here, go make yourself a hamburger, even though you know that he will spice it up with some milk or with some cheese, that you're not telling him to make a cheeseburger. And there's no isser for you even to cook non-kosher meat. He's not allowed to eat it, but you can cook it all you want. So if you're in cooking school and they tell you to make a non-kosher dish, they tell you to cook up pork chops, and it's not basar b'chalav, it's 100% okay. You can do that as long as you don't eat it. But if it's basar b'chalav, then it's asur even to cook. So therefore, what's it called? And because of that, there's even an opinion that you should not put a goy's kli that may have basar and chalav in it on the fire, because you're recooking the basar b'chalav inside of it. Right? Surely not to make meat or milk separately in the kli of a goy, which may have the other one absorbed into it within 24 hours. Even though normally we assume that a pot has not been used within 24 hours for something hot, but the chatchila, it's a good idea. Not if you have a Filipino or any other kind of situation, and they have their own kalim. Right, you shouldn't do them a favor and put that kli on the fire and cook one or the other thing for fear that maybe the other thing, the milk or the meat, was absorbed into the pot within 24 hours. And therefore you're cooking basar b'chalav. There's even a chumra, which we're not knowing, that even a pot that doesn't have, there's water, right, but may have had basar b'chalav independently cooked in it at different times, right, that if you put it on in boiled water, you're mixing the basar b'chalav together. That we're not machmer. But not to put meat and cook it up for a goy, or milk separately, there at l'chatchil is better not to do. Okay, so that is actual cooking, baking, frying, and so on. Barbecuing. Next possibility. A kli rishon. Okay? Putting meat into milk that was boiled on the stove and off the stove now. So it's a kli rishon that's no longer on the fire. That's also asur min haTorah, because a kli rishon is mevashel, even if it's not on the fire. So soaking meat in hot milk, or pouring milk into hot meat in a kli rishon, is also from the Torah, and the Mela, you're not allowed to do that, and if you do it, you can't have any benefit from the product. Okay, Iri Kli Rishon. Okay, when you pour a hot liquid over a solid, right, you take hot milk and pour it over meat. So we learned that the halacha is that it can't cook the whole thing, but it cooks kedei klipa. The outer rim of the meat becomes cooked. So you're cooking basar b'chalav. And therefore, what's it called? It's also to do. Can't pour hot milk over meat. That's a machlokis. Therefore, you shouldn't do it because it's a sofik nisr doraisa. There is, however, everybody holds that if the when you pour it, the milk doesn't go directly on the meat, but it goes indirectly. In other words, it poured on something else and then falls onto the meat, that's not usher from the Torah, that's not called bishul from the Torah. Again, the result will be something you're not allowed to eat, at least rabbinically. But you're not called that you actually cooked it, therefore it's not usher to do, And if you did do it, the product doesn't become asur b'hanoah. You could give it to your dog. Therefore, if let's say you pour hot milk onto a tray and it then oozes onto the meat, even though it's still yatzal letishbo, but it's not iri kli rishon, it's not pouring directly from a kli rishon, everybody holds that that's not min haTorah, it's only durabonon, and therefore the product is not asur b'hanoah. Okay, a kli sheni. Even though kli sheni, according to some opinions, can make something asur to eat because the taste transfers, but it's not called bishul. You can't be mavashal in a kli sheni. And therefore, if you put meat into hot milk that's already in a kli sheni, even though you're not allowed to eat that meat or the milk, but you're allowed to give it to your dog. Okay. The same thing goes for hot meat touching hot cheese, dry. So whether it actually transfers taste or not is a different shaila. In other words, could be you're not allowed to eat that cheese and meat anymore. Could be you can, because they're both dry and they don't transfer taste, possibly also, even though they're hot. But lemaisa, that's irrelevant at this point. What is relevant is that if you have hot meat and hot cheese that touch each other, even if you may not be able to eat it, you can give it to your dog. It's not that doesn't become basur b'chol min haTorah. Okay. Another interesting case is if you have Chamei Tveria, right? You go up to Tveria and you have the natural hot springs, or you go to Yosemite National Park and you have these steam geysers, and you get this urge to put some milk and meat in the hot waters of Tveria. Okay. It's a shaila. By Shabbos, that's not called bishul. Question is why? It's because not the derech of people to mevashel like that, and it could be it's something that only applies to Shabbos, where you need meleches machsheves, but it is called bishul, or it's bechlal not called bishul. It's not called cooking. That's since it's in something that wasn't heated up. It was a natural heat. Right, not something that was induced by another source. It may be that that's not called cooking at all, and therefore there's a shaila whether you could feed that product to your dog if you put, and therefore you should not, if you decide to bring up milk and meat to Chamei Tveria, you shouldn't put them into Chamei Tveria, and if you did, you can't feed it to your dog, misafik.
Does that seem like sand?
What?
Does it seem like sand?
Is it like what?
Is it like sand?
Sand?
Yeah.
No, sand is heated up. Well, it depends. Sand is heated by the sun. But if sand is heated by... It depends what heat eats it. If it's heated by fire, then it's that's for sure bishul.
No,
it's only by something where the thing was not heated by a natural... by a heat source that came from fire, but came from, what's it called, its own heat source, the Chamei Tveria. Or cooking something in the sun is the same thing. Right? They can fry an egg in the sun where you didn't heat up something. If you heated up something with the sun, it's a different story. Okay, next thing. Smoking. Okay, we're not talking where you're smoking basur b'cholov, but you smoked meat. Okay? The yeshiva guys should get an idea of maybe that's something to do. You soak meat in milk and then you smoke it. You put it up, hang it up, and you build a fire underneath, and the smoke of the fire, like a delicatessen, that's smoked pastrami or whatever, that's a shaila also, whether that's considered bishul or not. Another thing that's for sure not bishul, that is considered, it does transfer taste, and it's considered cooking legabe, where the something not kosher goes into something kosher or whatever, or even basar b'cholov that becomes prohibited to eat rabbinically, but it's not called cooking. That is salting. You salt milk and meat together. You salt cheese and meat together. So the taste of the cheese and the and it goes into the meat. So you're not allowed to eat it. But that's even though and even though salting is called meluyach kiroseyach, that salting something is like roasting it, right? But it's only like roasting it. It's not mamish roasting, and therefore the product is mutar b'hanah. The same thing goes with soaking. We learned that soaking something in a liquid for 24 hours, or if it's a pungent liquid for even a lesser time, can aser the thing, right? Like pickling, right, is considered also like cooking. Kavush is kimavushel, but it's only kimavushel. It's not mamish bishel. And therefore, if you soak meat in milk for 24 hours, it's for sure aser. You can't eat it, but it's not bishel. You didn't cook it, right? And therefore, you're allowed to give it to your dog or sell it to a goy. Okay. Solar cooking, we said, is the same shaila as kamitveria. And now comes other shailas. What about cooking with electric? Electric oven. Okay, it's not fire. Does electricity have a din of fire or not? Is it like solar cooking? Is it like hametveria? Or is it a natural, a regular heat source? Just like if you heat up something with fire, heating it up with electricity is the same thing. For all practical purposes, rov haposkim hold that, and especially that's pretty much how we hold today, l'gabi Shabbos, l'gabi anything where it's fire, that something heated up by electricity, especially something that's glowing, has a din of fire. And therefore, if you roast, bake, cook something on a electric coil in an electric oven, it has a din of basar b'cholav and it's also b'hanah. Regular basar b'cholav. Cooking with electric fire, electric heat, is basar b'cholav. Okay, so that's pretty much muska. A microwave oven. So here there is no visible heat source. The heat is generated by the rays that come from the microwave oven that make the meat itself, the molecules of the meat, move and heat it up from inside. So there's a big shiloh whether that's called bishul or not, right? Since it's happening in an unusual way. The Shaila Gabi Shabbos, whether that's called Bishul or not. For all practical purposes, you can't cook in your microwave oven on Shabbos. And if you do cook things in a microwave oven, it's not clear whether it's Asur Minatora or not. It's a suffix. Whether that is called Bishul Minatora or not. Again, if you cook a cheeseburger in your microwave oven, you can't eat it. That's not the Shaila.
Is that called
right?
A fire?
What?
Is that called a fire?
No, there's no fire there. It's heat generated by a stream of electrons that make the molecules of the food move fast. But there's no heat there's no outside heat element that's heating the thing. The heat comes from the thing itself.
So how come sometimes the microwave can blow up or whatever?
That's if a terrorist had a was a victim of a terrorist attack, it could blow up. No, it could blow up.
Well, blow up because it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Okay. In any case, so that's a shaila whether that's called bishul from the Torah or not, and shouldn't do it. And if you did do it, it's a suffix whether it's mutter to sell to a goy or to feed to your dog. Okay. Next. Okay. How hot does something have to be to make something cooking? So that's like everything on Shabbos, Yatzo Lettuce Bo. If you cook something with a heat that's less than the Yatzo Lettuce Bo, I think the smallest amount of Yatzo Lettuce Bo is 113 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is. Centigrade?
40-something?
Okay. Whatever. That's pretty much the least amount. To be considered Yatzo Lettuce Bo. If anything less than that temperature can't make something Osur Min HaTorah and only becomes Osur Min Rabbanan, possibly. Even that may not be. Okay. Okay, next. There's another Shaila. How much do you have to cook it? in order for it to be Asur min HaTorah. Huh?
47.
47? Okay.
45.
You got 45?
113?
Huh? 113,
you said?
113. 45. 45 sounds right. That's the no, it sounds right because I think that that's what they say in the Shmir Shabbos Kulchos of 45. Okay. But in any case, all these years I still think in Fahrenheit. How much you have to cook it. So here there's a difference of opinion. For Shabbos, in order to be over on the Isser of Bishul on Shabbos, you have to cook something at least kamachal ben drusoy, which is either a third or a half of its full cooking time. If you do that, chayv on Shabbos. Here, there are those opinions that say if you cook something one third of its full cooking time, or one half, according to other opinions, you're also over the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Cholov. Other opinions say that no, that in order to be over the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Cholov, you have to cook it completely for it to be Asur from the Torah. Okay. That only applies to the meat, but the milk obviously becomes cooked right away. So the milk part is Basar B'Cholov right away. The meat part takes time to cook in a liquid. There is a shaila whether if at one third or one half of its cooking time it already is Asur min HaTorah or only when it's fully cooked. Okay, another shaila. What if you have cooked food that were already cooked separately? You have cooked meat and cooked milk. And so the milk is still hot, so it's, what's it called, it's the cooking is still in it. Or you had melted cheese. Melted cheese that you melted separately, and then you had cooked meat that was still, well, it didn't have to be hot, but it was cooked already. And then you cooked them together, so still usher. Cooking cooked milk and cooked meat a second time together is usher, if each one was done separately. Now you mix them together and re-cook them together is usher min HaTorah. The opposite, though, right, meaning you cooked milk and meat together. Somebody, your goyish friend, brought you over a cheeseburger, and you reheated it in your oven. So it already was cooked, as basar b'cholov. Now you're re-cooking basar b'cholov, that's a machlokas. Some hold that since it was cooked once together, cooking it a second time doesn't do anything. And some hold that no, that cooking a second time does. Nafkamina again, if you re-cooked your neighbor's cheeseburger, can you give it to your dog or not? Okay. What? Yeah, because of what? One second. Yeah, okay, that would be the thing. Okay. Okay, so those are... now, there's another shaila. If you cook basar b'cholov that's inedible, okay, you have milk that you put bleach into it, so it's inedible. And you cooked bleached milk with chopped meat, okay? Then what's it called? That's what?
Well, I have a problem after that. You'll be dead.
No, you didn't eat it. You just want to know if you could cook it, right? Nafkamina would be like this. Let's say you're in a cooking school, right? So it's not awesome. So if you're in cooking school and they ask you to cook, veal parmesan or some other kind of thing, and you put some bleach in the mixture before you cook it, right? It could be a fail, right?
Don't give it to the teacher.
But that may be a way of getting around, you know, just add a little bit to the recipe that they don't have on the thing. And nobody has to know the difference, or maybe they can know the difference, and, you know, I did everything right, you just can't taste it, or whatever.
Cooked white meat. Yeah, very right.
Okay, that's what I wanted to cover tonight, just the issur of cooking. Next week we'll speak about the issur of eating basar b'cholov. Yeah.
This is not the eating part. Is there a problem with putting, like, hot cheese into the trash can in case there might be some meat in there? Like,
pour boiling milk into your garbage can.
Yeah, some kind of...
Irui, if you know for sure there's meat, it's a problem.
I don't know. I mean, do you you need to like check the trash every time
you're yeah, to pour. Yeah, what to pour? Right, right. So it would have to be right. And first of all, what's it have to be yassel lettuce bowl.
Right.
It would have to be from the pot that was on the fire. Right. That could be a problem.
The
hot cheese that's going to be yassel lettuce bowl. You throw directly into the thing. It's going to have to.
Last time you did this, people think don't do it.
Or pour hot gravy into what's it called into something where there may be milchit. Yeah, if that's probably the only possibility. Hot milk right off the fire right into the garbage can. Usually don't do that. Hot gravy maybe. You know, that directly into the, but something usually is not yassel lettuce bowl when you throw it into the garbage. So, or it's already in a cliche-y. If it is yassel lettuce bowl. A dover goosh, maybe, that, you know, like a hot cholent that you throw right into the garbage, it's very, very not probable that it's going to make basa b'chala. But yeah, if you know that, it's pouring gravy or milk and knowing that there's some, what's it called, the opposite thing there that it's going to go directly on, that may be a problem. But usually that's not what happens in the garbage.